Good morning and good afternoon. This is Sunday, May 30th, 2021. We are continuing our study with of A Parenthesis in Eternity and the Book of John. We are at chapter 15, which is called Self-Surrender. Students setting out on a spiritual adventure, he says, often labor under the misapprehension that they are going to mount up onto cloud 9, 10, or 11 and not come down to earth at all, except perhaps to help a few of their neighbors. The spiritual path is a way of sacrifice. It is a giving up, a surrender. If we can picture the Master saying to his disciples, "Leave your nets," or the disciples, the apostles, and the 200 going out carrying the Christ message far and wide, yet taking no thought for their life, depending upon neither purse nor scrip, suffering persecution and later on death itself, we can begin to realize that the way of the Christ is not a way of getting, but of givingness. It is a way of surrender. Well, way, way back in 1971, 72, I was reading all of these books, and I had a pretty good intellectual understanding. At least I could explain it to you intellectually. However, none of them entered my consciousness because it stopped at the mental level. And so the results were that, as I told you a few weeks ago, I ended up unemployed and unemployable. Nobody would have me because they said I had an attitude that the world owed me a living. That's what they told the unemployment office. And they were right. I was mad at everybody, particularly myself. As a matter of fact, I hated myself. Often I would see myself in the mirror in the bathroom and I would spit at myself. And then, because I had a big ego, I would clean it off before anybody could catch me. I didn't want them to know that I was that mentally unstable. Also, when nobody was looking, I would sock myself, hit myself. That's what I've thought about myself. Of course, I got that great concept or series of concepts from my mother, who I also hated. She used to tell me, "You're just like your father, you're no dang good," although she would say a bad word. And then she beat me. So after I got out from under her care, I took up where she left off. I would beat myself and belittle myself. But I wanted what I saw that people had. I saw something in their eyes. I would go and listen to a Joel Goldsmith tape at the Green Hotel in Pasadena, California. And I'd listen to the tape, and it sounded good. It sounded right. And I looked at the people, and their eyes had a peace in them, peace that I didn't have. And so I was living a dual life because I didn't tell anybody what I was feeling. So, what happened was, as I told you before, I ended up in a position where I had to beg a loaf of bread from my neighbor next door in order to feed my wife and my child. And that's pretty humiliating. But it still wasn't enough. I needed to surrender, which is what this chapter is all about. And I did. One morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, I sat on my front porch steps there in Pasadena. The city was asleep. It was fairly cool. It was a little breeze blowing. I looked at my life, I looked at myself, and for the first time in my lifetime, I opened up and I became teachable. I realized I knew none of these things, even though I knew all of them intellectually. I knew that you could practice thy grace is my sufficiency, and his grace would be your sufficiency. I knew that with my mind, but I couldn't practice it with my consciousness. Nothing would enter any deeper until that morning on my front porch steps, all alone, when I said, God, Jesus, Buddha, Christ, Cosmic Consciousness, Great Spirit, Father, anyone, anywhere, please help me. I'll do anything if you show me how to live. And I didn't feel anything. There was no answer to that prayer. But there was an answer to that prayer. No prayer of despair ever goes unanswered. So I went in the house, I tried to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. I came back out and sat in my chair. And I decided that I was going to surrender everything. Everything. And if there was a God, see, I didn't know if there was one. If there was a God, maybe he would take over. And so I sat in that chair, too scared to do anything for fear that it might be my will. And I'd had enough of that. I didn't want any more of my will. So I sat in the chair, and then all of a sudden it became obvious that I didn't have a job. So I said, okay, thy will be done. I will go and fill out applications, and I won't pick it. You pick the job. And I went out, but my mind didn't stop, you know. My mind kept on, blah, 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 blah. So I had to do something to drown out my mind. So what I did throughout the day was I said, thy will be done. It's your ball game. It's your show. Show me what you want me to do and give me your power to carry it out. And that's it, all day long, all day long. And I went down to Colorado Boulevard, where you see the Rose Parade every year, and I started going into buildings and filling out applications up one side of the street and then down the other side of the street. And I came to this bank, and the bank was having a grand opening, and there was balloons all over the place. And I started to pass it by, because my mind said, oh, you don't have any experience in banking. They're not going to hire you. And I said, no, I'm not listening to you. Father, thy will be done. And I walked into the bank, and I asked the lady, the teller there, or manager, whoever it was, could I fill out an application? And she said, yes. And I filled out the application, and while I was standing there working on it, she said, would you like a cup of coffee? And I said, well, thank you, yes. And I received the cup of coffee, and I drank it, and I finished the application, and I thanked her, and I stepped outside and started walking to the next business. And then I realized, oh my God, If I would have listened to my head, I would not have had that cup of coffee. That cup of coffee was because I followed God and not me. And as I marveled at that, that God would give me a cup of coffee, I came upon a Denny's. And I went inside and sat at the counter and talked to the manager, filled out an application, and you'll never believe what he said. He said, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" Just so I didn't miss it. And then I realized those two cups of coffee were the first gifts I ever received consciously from God, by following God and not my will. And so over the next 4 weeks, I surrendered completely, 100%, from my longest hair to my longest toenail. "God, you take it. It's your ball game. It's your show. What do you want me to do? What's the next right thing?" I went to a spiritual talk up at the Presbyterian Church there on Colorado Boulevard, and after the spiritual talk, I looked around the room and I thought, and my mind said to me, "Go ask Ray for a ride home." And I started to do it, and then I stopped in my tracks. No, I am not following my will. Father, what do you want me to do? And I left the meeting. I didn't ask anybody for a ride. And I walked across the street to the bus stop, and I sat on the bus, and there was a fellow there, and he said, "Didn't I see you up at that spiritual meeting?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And we shook hands, and his name was John, and my name was Bill, and "How do you do?" And I said, "Not too well. I said, I've messed up everything I've ever touched, but I'm trying to do better." John said, "Are you working?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, why don't you come up where I work and fill out an application?" I said, "Okay, I'll do that tomorrow morning." Because my idea was to get a ride from Ray. God's idea was to go sit on that bus bench, and I was following God's ideas. And the next morning, I went up there, and I filled out an application, and the plant manager talked to me, and he said, "Well, tell me a little bit about yourself." And I said, well, I started to try to impress him, and then I remembered, I'm not doing my will. So I said, "You know, I've messed up everything I've ever touched, and I was fired for a bad attitude. But I'm trying to do better." And he said, "I think you are. Can you start on Monday?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And over that next 4 weeks, I saw the invisible hand of God reach right up through my consciousness, out into my world, and move things around until every little jigsaw piece of life fell together. I didn't do it. I watched it happen. I know very well what it means when someone says, "I bear witness to God in action." That's what I was doing. And it all came out of the surrender on my front porch steps. Within my being, I became teachable. And so this chapter 15 in this book is called Self-Surrender. And that's what happened to me. And so, it's a short chapter, there's not much here, but What there is pretty powerful. He says the first year or two of study results in a considerable amount of getting for most students. But a year or so later, they run into a little trouble. The ego comes into the picture as students begin to realize that in order to attain spiritual grace, they are called upon to surrender. Many cherished things have to go out of the window when the spirit comes in. Now that surrender that I just told you about in my life in 1972 continued to unfold. It didn't stop after those few weeks. It has continued to unfold to this second, this moment, this word. And as it continued to unfold, I've told you the story before, I came home feeling really good from one of these spiritual meetings, and there was something wrong with my wife, and she wouldn't tell me what, so I kept at her, and she finally told me, she said, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you for another person I met at the meetings. And the next day I came home, and she was gone, and the baby's room was empty. There was nothing there but dust balls on the floor. So you see, when I surrendered, and I invited God to build my life, He took me up on it. He had to undo what I had put together. And oh, that hurt really bad. And then I surrendered again. And out of that came a love for God in all of His creation. And out of that came a feeling of the presence which has never left. From then till now, from that moment with my book, The Practicing the Presence, in my lap, and my eyes closed in a meditation, I felt the presence for the first time. And it's never left, and it's been 47 years since then. Or 48 now, I guess. So, that surrender changed me. It changed me from a human being into the spiritual child of God. And it has never stopped. He says here, the human body has within itself the potentiality of discord and disease. And if it is left to itself, these errors would just continue multiplying until they become serious enough to cause pain. Under a program of 2 or 3 years of very serious spiritual work, however, these errors are not permitted to lie dormant. They are roused up. And see, the error I had was that I could depend on my wife to make me happy. That somehow I could plug her into me and fill an emptiness. And that wasn't love at all. That was dependence. And I asked to be shown how to love. And love is not heavy like that. Love is light. Love is light. If there's heaviness, it's not love. And I was definitely feeling heavy, bogged down with pain, because I didn't want to let go of the belief, the cherished belief, that I could have a wife and live like Ozzie and Harriet. But eventually I surrendered it. I surrendered it forever. And since that surrender, I've been married to the same gal for 31 years, and we still love each other. But even more, we still like each other. I like what she is. And I don't have to have her to be happy. All right, so You have your cherished beliefs that have to go, and I have mine. And so it's going to involve a surrender. He says, during this second, third, or fourth year of very serious spiritual study, we can expect the worst of us to come to the surface, whether it is a physical worst, a mental worst, or even a moral worst. All right, so he says, it is in these years, therefore, that we need to watch ourselves most closely to be sure that we are not overcome by our problems or by the situations that face us, but that we continue moving forward. Yes, that's exactly what we need to do. All right, so if you are a very serious student and you have some problems that are rising to the surface, you can be somewhat comfortable to know that you're right on schedule. That's exactly what should be happening. It doesn't mean you don't understand the principles. It means there's another surrender of some cherished belief or idea. During this period of unrest, doubts and questions come to our thought. Am I on the right path? Is this my way? And I had those thoughts. If we could but remember the changes that have taken place in our life, or if we could just recall the blessings that we have witnessed in the lives of others on this path, we would know that regardless of what may have happened to us, this is still the way. Unfortunately, in this period of doubt, most persons forget all the evidence that they have had over the years, which should have been sufficient to prove to them that this is the way for them. And so it is that at this point, those of us who aspire to the spiritual life must remember that the goal of the spirit is not more or better matter. And that's the whole thing right there, isn't it? More or better matter means the belief that our income should double or quadruple, and sometimes it does, or that our marriage should be completely fulfilling, or that we find the perfect mate and live happily ever after without any work. Now, no work. Or that our health should be perfect until our last breath. These are all cherished beliefs, and they have to go. Because he says the spiritual path leads to God realization, to God government and God control. And that's what happened to me in my surrender and in my subsequent surrenders, because there's been many over the years. Along the way, and as a result of our progress on the way, healings come to us, physical, mental, moral, financial, and healings also of discordant human relationships. These, however, are not the goal. They are but the added things. You see that? He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That is the promise. But there are footsteps leading up to the fulfillment of that promise. And these are sometimes very, very hard. Primarily because of the surrender that is necessary. You see, we won't let go until we absolutely have to sometimes. And that was true in my case. I did not want to let go of the belief that I could fend for myself. I did not want to let go of the belief that I should be the man of the house. I did not want to let go of the belief that I should have a wife that can make me happy. But all of those cherished beliefs had to go, and they all involved painful surrenders. You have to surrender every cherished desire except the one desire for God. And so when you read things like God is a jealous God and all that, that's what it means. It means you can't find the answer until you surrender everything except the desire for God. And so he says, for the person who is merely seeking more harmony in his daily life, this surrender is not necessary. Okay, so if you are just looking for a little boost to your income, or a little better relationship, or better health, you can practice these principles, and you don't have to surrender at depth, because you're not looking for the real goal, which is God realization. But if you are, looking for God realization, then this surrender is necessary. We must surrender all desire to the one desire to see God face to face, to know Him, and to let the will of God be made manifest in us. And that's what I did, and do, on a daily basis. There must come the complete surrender of our personal self, so that the Spirit of God can fulfill itself in us, in accordance with its will, not with ours. Which is why I walked around 24/7 saying, Thy will be done, it's your ball game, it's your show. Not my idea, thy idea. Not my will, thy will. One of the reasons for our discontent is that the four temporal kingdoms have not been fulfilled in us as we had hoped they might be. And now we are being called upon to surrender our desire for those kingdoms, for the things of this world, for the things for which we have heretofore prayed. Our goal must now be the purely spiritual one of attaining the kingdom of heaven. See, there comes a time, if you're serious on this path, you will have problems. And you will look at the problems and say, well, I don't understand. How come these principles aren't working anymore? Joel calls that the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And it's at that point that another surrender is required. You have to surrender any desire for a solution to your problems. And you have to surrender to the one desire, to know God aright. All right, Father. You take all of that. There may never be an answer. I'm letting it go. Now, Father, thy will be done. It's your ballgame. It's your show. Open the door that you wish me to walk in, and I will walk in it. Send me, Father. I will go. There is a spirit of Christ, and it will raise up our mortal bodies. It will be the bread and the wine and the water to our experience. It will take us out of those empty years of the locusts. There is a spirit, but there is a price to be paid for it. A surrender. Spirituality cannot be added to a vessel already full of materiality. We cannot add the kingdom of heaven to our personal sense of self. We cannot attain the kingdom of heaven if there is an inordinate love of personal power, or a love of glory, a love of name or fame, or a desire merely to show forth the benefits and the fruitage of the Spirit in the form of better human circumstances. our vessel must be empty of self before it can be filled with the grace of God. So there is a surrender, and then you say to yourself, well, I'm glad I did that. I'll never have to do that again, thank God. And then there's another surrender, and another surrender, and another surrender. A man told me once, who I love very much, there will never be a time when we don't have to surrender. All right. Now, the good news about surrender is, he says, it is when sitting humbly and completely aware of one's inability even to know how to pray that the Spirit of God can function and perform its miracles on earth. Now, that's what happened to me. I created an opening with a surrender. And through that opening, the Spirit of God performed its functions in my life. When we come to the point of serving as practitioners or teachers, we shall have to be courageous and completely purged of any personal sense, because we will undoubtedly offend many of the very persons whom we wish to bless. In this ministry, there can be no catering to anyone because of his position, wealth, or fame. There can be no catering to the grosser part of human nature. Every person will have to be brought to that same state of surrender. And, therefore, we may have to pluck out eyes, cut off hands, and point out, this way is straight and narrow, and you either follow in the straight and narrow way, or you will not enter. This path is not the pathway of popularity. Isn't that the truth? We may make ourselves unpopular, because we will be called upon to discipline, to correct, and to teach undeviating principles, which the human mind resisted in the days of Moses and the days of Jesus Christ and always will resist. The human mind wants anything but self-surrender. Yes, the human mind wants to be the authority, even when it's saying, oh, you know, you don't have to clap. It's secretly enjoying the applause. I find that I continuously come back to this place where I silently know of myself I can do nothing. But there is a Father within, and I surrender, and I open out a way. Father, thy will be done. And I stay in that surrender. I don't move off of that spot. And then the Father flows through and appears as harmony, as abundance, as healing in relationships. I don't do it. I bear witness. Look what the Father has done. Look what the Father is doing. I bear witness. Man, he says, has to be a hollow emptiness through which the Spirit prays. If you're still praying when we have our Sunday meditation, you need to stop. You need to come up higher and allow the Spirit to pray in you. When the Spirit prays in and through man, spiritual fruitage takes place in this world. It is the Spirit of God that performs the great healing works on earth through those people who are able to be still and silent and surrendered, listening ever and always for the voice of the Lord. Into that emptiness inside, the Spirit of God flows and spiritual fruitage appears. Certainly, in the early stages, it may be painful when the spirit is breaking up the humanness in us. Certainly, there will be disturbances in our existence, and oh, brother, was there. These we must accept with gratitude. I never did like that when somebody would say that. But here it is again. These we must accept with gratitude. This very pain and these very disturbances indicate that undesirable traits, qualities, and conditions are no longer lying dormant within us. Now they are being roused up, rooted out, and if we are faithful, we will be purified. So, it all begins, at least it did with me, it all begins with surrender. And the human mind does not like surrender. Let's take a moment and be silent. Here, with this surrender, I invite the Spirit to take over. And as many as receive that Spirit, to them gives He power to manifest, to bear witness to God in action. Last week, we spoke of the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in your state of surrender, when you surrender your consciousness and you surrender your life completely, then you create an opening. You are purified and the Spirit moves in. The Comforter comes and stays in your consciousness. It's been with me now for 48 years. Well, actually 49, but the first year wasn't recognized. Next year will be 50 years, a half a century, that the Comforter has been with me. And it has taught me many things. But most of all, it has taught me that no matter what mistakes I make when I'm forgetting about God and exercising my will again, they are forgiven. I can be white as snow the minute I surrender again and allow Spirit to take over again and allow the Comfort to have its way, Comforter. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see, keeping my words means living on the word that you receive in consciousness. And when you surrender and you live by the word instead of by your thoughts, when you live by the word, I and my Father will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see, the Comforter comes, Christ, the Father, the Comforter, comes into your consciousness and stays, for your consciousness becomes the domain of Christ, of the Father. Your consciousness becomes the area for the Comforter to operate. Your consciousness becomes the kingdom of God. All with a surrender. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Yes, then they're on their own, living by the mind and its best guess. And I can tell you that living by the mind's best guess is pretty pitiful. I had to beg bread from my neighbor. But living by the Comforter and by the Word of God, which comes through your consciousness, is heard and then appears out here as harmony. Well, that's heaven on earth. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, that's what you receive in your surrender, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now in meditation, after your surrender, in meditation, with your eyes closed, shutting off the senses, listening, waiting for the appearance of the Comforter, you may hear something that you've heard before, such as, I am the vine, ye are the branches, abide in me and bear fruit richly. Or you may hear something you've never heard before in ordinary, everyday language, like Joel did when he was standing before a person in an iron lung, and the voice within said, man shall not live by breath alone. And then he recognized he was trying to live by mind, which is what operates breath. And man does not live by mind, by breath. Man lives by God, by Christ, by I, by the Comforter. And when he had that realization, he surrendered. Ah, yes, you take over. And God was on the scene, and the man came out from under the iron curtain and came out of the hospital the next day. All right. I mean, not the iron curtain, the iron lung. All right. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you. Now that peace is what happens after the surrender. When I went into my house, after that surrender, when I started to see, started to behold, when I started to live as a beholder, that peace entered my soul. And I can always find it again, no matter what's going on, no matter what the turmoil is. If I will be still, if I will surrender again, if I will listen, I will receive that peace. That peace comes as the presence. The presence and the peace are one. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Yes, because he went unto the Father, we can receive him when we surrender. I believe that his work was to open that door forever, actually to be that door. I am the door through which the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can flow into us. And so, yes, oh yes, go to the Father. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Yes, he had already overcome the world. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. All right, so we have it on pretty good authority, since we have it, well, you have it said by me, Bill, you have it said by Joel, and you have it said by Jesus that you must surrender. You must surrender your cherished beliefs, cherished ideas, and ideals. And does that hurt? Yes, sometimes it does. Actually, the surrender itself doesn't hurt. The surrender brings relief, brings that peace, brings that presence, brings the comforter. But up until the surrender, that hurts because we're not willing to let go. And the harder we pull, the worse it hurts. And the only way we can get out of that pain is by surrender. And I was somewhat disappointed to hear my teacher say that there will never be a time when we don't have to surrender. And I was disappointed to find out that the ego could come back again, and back again, and back again. And what my teacher said was, he fought with that also, until he was 16 and a half years walking this way. And then he said he learned that the reason the ego comes back is because it's the burr under the saddle. It's the thing that keeps us walking. And when we have made a huge surrender, as I did on my porch steps in 73, and you know where yours was, when we have made a big surrender, a complete surrender, life will not let us stop walking. And so when we get a little fat and complacent, and we're sitting around and coasting, life will not let us coast. There are no vacations on this path. And so it hurts. We get involved in the ego again, some aspect of it, one of its cherished beliefs. And the only way we can get out of it again is by surrendering again. And so that was his answer. It was the thing that kept him walking. And I tried that on for size, and it didn't really fit. I understand it, but inside my consciousness, I think it was for him. I need to look inside myself to see what the answer is for me. Okay. Again, let's have us another meditation. It was a short chapter. First we'll have the meditation. So let's close our eyes. This day, I surrender my ideals, my ideas. I surrender my human mind. I surrender the forms in which or through which I live. I surrender all of it. I let it go. Here in this emptiness, Father, let thy Holy Spirit flow. Let the Comforter be here. I will be still. I will bear witness. Thy will be done. strange it is to me how when we surrender and the Comforter comes and shows us all things and harmony comes into our life, appears in our life, and abundance appears in our life, and love appears in our lives, how we can forget that each time and get back to where the human mind is running things. It just really amazes me. Yet, I will surrender again and again and again. And I will practice each morning surrendering so that I may stay in that surrendered state of consciousness where the Comforter may operate. Father, fulfill thyself. I bear witness to you. And if we stay surrendered, then the harmony continues to function, to appear, to be. Well, next week we probably won't have a talk because I am going up with my family to visit John and Kim up north. And I'm looking forward to seeing them both. Hi, John. Hi, Kim. And so we'll be up there with them. So we probably won't have a talk. I might be able to make one in the next couple of days. I don't know. But if not, I can recommend one out of the uncomfortable talks, or maybe one out of the last time we did a parenthesis in eternity. We'll see. But I wanted to make that announcement. We will be up visiting with them. And we will still have our 11 o'clock to 11:15 Sunday morning meditation. That's Eastern Daylight Time. And I guess out in California it would be, what, 8 o'clock? In Hawaii it would be 5 in the morning. In the UK it's going to be, 5 o'clock p.m.? And in Australia, I guess it's the next day, or the next night. So wherever you are, please join us on Sundays for our 15-minute meditation. Not longer than that, because we don't want it to be a mental exercise. We want it to be an opening through which the Comforter can come. And so you might say, every Sunday for 15 minutes, we surrender and we allow the Comforter, the Presence, the Spirit of God to function. Okay, I know that's not much, but all of us have chosen times through the day and night to also meditate. I have 4 o'clock in the morning and 11 p.m. at night, so I'm sticking with that until I'm told otherwise within. This world needs the Spirit. And although the Spirit doesn't function in this world, if we, enough of us, allow it through, we are told that 10 righteous ones can save a city. So I believe the work is important. And I thank you for your participation. Thank you.